Thank you. Please be seated. Please be seated. Thank you, Doug, for your very kind introduction. And I'm very pleased that Congressman Tom Latham and Congressman Boswell, I can be with them here. They are the strong supporters of the Korea-U.S. free trade agreements, and I'm very grateful to him for that. I'm also grateful to the NPPC to inviting me with you today, and to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce for arranging this visit to Iowa. We arrived Des Moines yesterday from Minneapolis of Minnesota. Originally, we were of the very strong view that we should come first to Des Moines and to Minneapolis. But we couldn't take the plane because the plane was full of the presidential candidates who are going to Des Moines. Talking to pork producers about free trade is like talking to your wife about the trip to the Mall of America. You don't have to spend a lot of time convincing her that it's in her interest. In April, I had the privilege of visiting a hog farm near Benson, North Carolina, owned and operated by John Langdon, his wife, Ellen, and their three children, John Michael, Hunter, and Megan. The Langdon family has been farming for four generations. Last year, the North Carolina Association of Soil and Water Conservation Districts named them the Outstanding Conservation Farm Family of 2010. He was kind enough to show me around his place, where he can run as many as 8,044 head of feeder to finished swine. He was excited about the Corus FTA and the economic benefits it promises to him and his family. In fact, the pork industry is one of America's strongest advocates of free trade, which it recognizes as a key to economic growth and long-term prosperity for American farmers. That was evident last December when the NPPC agreed to a two-year postponement of the day when Korea's tariff on most pork imports from the U.S. is eliminated under the Corus FTA. Last year's NPPC president, Sam Kenny, said then that pork producers needed to give a little. We need to take one for the team. That was a gracious and generous concession, although not hurting the real substance of the agreements, and all who support Corus' passage owe you a debt of gratitude. Let's review what has happened in the past year. About 2 weeks after last year's expo, President Obama met with Korea's President Lee Myung-bak during the G20 summit in Toronto. They noted the changes that have occurred in U.S.-Korea trade flows and decided that the time had come to revive the Corus FTA and put it into force. One of the changes I'm referring to is that the United States used to be Korea's largest trading partner, but China overtook it in 2004, and Japan and European Union have also undertaken it since then. So Presidents Obama and Lee instructed their trade ministers to get together and resolve the remaining differences, which centered mostly on auto exports, and put the FTA on a course toward ratification. The auto industry's concerns were put to rest in the fall of last year, and the supplemental agreements was reached on December 3rd. With that breakthrough, and with a very, very generous small concession by Sam, the COROS FDA became acceptable to all major stakeholders. I won't go into the details of what has happened since then. I will just say that there has been a series of disagreements over when, how, and under what circumstances the Korea-U.S. free trade agreements should be submitted for Congress approval. This is unfortunate because we were running out of time. Korea's free trade agreements with the European Union takes effect on July 1st, and Congress adjourns for its August recess a month later. If Korea-U.S. agreements isn't submitted and ratified before then, the chances of it ever being ratified will be diminished considerably because of Congress's busy legislative schedule for the remainder of this year and because 2012 is an election year. That would be unfortunate. The U.S. pork industry would lose its dominant position in the Korean market as Korea's tariffs on European pork imports will start getting lower this year and will be phased out entirely in 2016. Meanwhile, Korea's tariff on Chilean pork have been getting lower every year since 2004, when an FTA between those two countries took effect. In 2009, Chile supplanted Canada as the second largest exporter of pork to Korea. Korea's 2010 tariffs on fresh and frozen Chilean pork were 9.5% and 8.4% respectively, compared to 12.5% and 25% for American pork. This explains, at least in part, why the value of U.S. pork exports to Korea was not so impressive between 2008 and 2010. In 2014, Chilean pork will enter Korea duty-free, and Korea and Canada are negotiating a free trade agreement of their own. The jump in exports to Korea that you've seen this year is, of course, a consequence of the foot and mouth disease outbreak in Korea. Your export in the first quarter of 2011 were almost as much as in all of 2010. America's farmers and ranchers may have more to gain from passage of the Korea-U.S. free trade agreements than any other industries. Korea is a small country of about 60,000 square miles. That's about the size of Georgia. It's mostly mountainous and doesn't have enough arable lands to grow the food it needs to feed its 48 million people. Our need to import food and farm products is growing because we are an increasingly affluent society with a growing interest in good food and drink from the other parts of the world. Pork, beef, poultry, whiskey and wine, fresh fruits, vegetables, grains, and oilseeds. These are some of the commodities for which there is growing demand in Korea. American farmers and ranchers are well equipped to meet that demand, but they need to be able to compete on even terms with their counterparts in Europe and elsewhere. The Korea-U.S. FTA will give them that ability. About two-thirds of Korea's agricultural tariffs, which average about 40%, will disappear the day it takes effect. Most of the remaining third will be phased out gradually. United States Department of Agriculture expects that this will increase employment by 29,000 jobs just in the livestock sector. A study by our Iowa State economist Dermot Hayes predicts that 3,600 of those jobs will be in the pork industry and related businesses. That study also predicts that Korea-U.S. free trade agreements will bring about a $10 increase in live hog prices. As for the economy, U.S. economy as a whole, the U.S. International Trade Commission predicts that implementation of Korea-U.S. trade agreements will increase exports by as much as $11 billion and U.S. GDP by as much as $12 billion. The U.S. Commerce Department predicts that it will create or preserve about 70,000 jobs just in manufacturing. A study released by the U.S. by the Office of Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon holds that the arguments could create as many as 280,000 jobs. I know that increased exports cause job growth and retention. That has been proven time and again. The stakes for both our countries are high, and time is running out. A failure to finalize the agreements and finalize it soon will impose further hardships on your industry, which has already suffered more than its share of them. Economic growth and job creation are certainly the most important reasons to support ratification of the Korea-U.S. FTA, but they are not the only ones. Last year, we observed the 60th anniversary of the start of the Korean War. During these 3 years of combat, about 2 million American soldiers went to Korea and fought under some of the most horrendous conditions known to man. Some 36,000 of them gave their lives so that a little country on the other side of the world could be free and prosperous. We are free and we are prosperous. Korea today has a $1 trillion economy, the world's 15th largest. I dare say that would not be the case if the United States had left us to fend ourselves after the war. You stayed with us, and you are still with us today, ensuring peace and stability on the Korean Peninsula and the region. Asia is the world's most economically dynamic region. Region-wide economic growth averaged 8%, 3% in 2010, and is expected to average about 7% this year and next, while the global growth rate will be about 4.5%. Nonetheless, Northeast Asia remains an unpredictable and tumultuous part of the world, as demonstrated by the North Korea's two unprovoked and lethal attacks on our territory last year, and by its relentless pursuit of nuclear weapons. The stabilizing influence of the United States is desperately still needed there, and ratification of the CORUS FTA will send a clear message that the U.S. intends to stay engaged and maintain its influence in the region. Ratifying the Korea-U.S. free trade agreements would send a message to East Asia and to the world that the U.S. is a serious player in the global trading regime. Not ratifying it would lead other countries to wonder if negotiating free trade agreements with the United States may not be worth the trouble. That is the message that 27 former high-ranking federal officials sent to the Congress leadership in April this year. They included former Secretaries of State, Defense, and Commerce, former U.S. Trade Representatives, and former commanding generals of U.S. forces in Korea. The disagreements in Washington that have delayed FTA's ratification are ironic in that it enjoys almost unanimous support. The administration supports it, a majority of senators and House members of both parties support it. Virtually the entire business and agricultural communities support it. Major labor unions support it. Most big American newspapers support it. Time is running out and the stakes are high. America's pork producers have been among the most vocal and active proponents of disagreements. I am here to ask you, to not let up. It is imperative that you let your members of Congress know that you want them to sort out your differences with the White House and ratify the Chorus FTA now. Representing some 67,000 producers, NPPC is an economic force to be reckoned with. Members of Congress are well aware of that. If you make your voices heard, I think they will listen. From every standpoint, the Chorus FTA presents a once-in-a-generation opportunity to win significant, lasting gains for both our countries. At the end of the day, the FTA is not about us in government. It's about you, farmers and ranchers, your families, your neighbors, your employees and partners on the front lines of American agriculture, a stalwart of the U.S. economy. Whatever action is ultimately taken on the FTA will affect you directly and for a long time. It will also affect U.S.-Korea relations directly and for a long time. Whether that will take the form of significant economic gains for hundreds of businesses here and in Korea or of a missed opportunity is up to us. Some of you and I know of the respect NPPC enjoys on Capitol Hill. I'm confident your efforts can make a difference. For your many contributions to the U.S. economy and to Korea-U.S. economic relations, and for your strong support of the Korea-U.S. FTA, I thank you. Thank you very much.